This is GKW. Welcome to another edition of Good Karma Wrestling with everybody here. I'm Gabe Knights from ESPN Milwaukee, Brian Rowitz from ESPN West Palm, and catch him on ESPN 1000 in Chicago, as well as Busted Open Radio on Sunday morning, Sirius XM. He is Jonathan Hood. All right. I criticized it. I thought we should have heard from Cena sooner. I know he's got prior obligations, so you know I guess we take him when we can. We finally got to hear from the one we cannot see on Monday in Brussels. So that's where we start today, boys. Grade the John Cena promo and the segment that took nearly a half hour to kick off Monday Night Raw.
It is an A+ and one of the greatest promos I've ever seen in wrestling. And it's because of the circumstances around it. I know that we're just blow off segment after segment because wrestling happens 52 weeks a year, 365 days a year. But here's the thing you don't get every day. Someone who's a babyface for almost 15 years and to be able to cut a promo like that. What John Cena did, guys, is he wanted to make sure and took as much time as he wanted to explain that even if you're with me, I hate you. I already got the haters because I've heard John Cena sucks for 15 years. But he wanted to make sure that the kids and the grandmas and everyone else, I just want you to know I hate you too. I understand that the basis for a turn more times than not going to the heel side is always, I did it because of you, because of the fans. But he went deeper than that. He went deeper than Seth Rollins. He went deeper than Hulk Hogan. He went deeper than Roman Reigns. So for John Cena, for all he's done for the company, I had no problem with him going out there explaining why he did that and then going even deeper to let you know you're a jack-off, you're a son of a bitch. All these things he's never said before, he said in one promo, which was unbelievable. Left no stone unturned. I am not a heel, I'm not a babyface, I'm a human being, but you know what he really is. He's a guy that's on a mission.
Shout out to the Belgian kid who will be a WWE celebrity forever, who did love John before, you know, he was called out by his hero. So shout out to that kid also. Like, it was good. It was really good. I go B+. To me, like, there was just little parts where it's almost like the Cena overacting and things like that. To your point, Gabe, I almost wish we would have heard it last week. Like, the fact that we had to get the whole lead up to it, like, hey, by the way, this is why we care. Here's the lead up to it. It was good. It was a pretty forgettable Raw besides that, so a hell of a job for that to just sort of start it and be like, all right, I've seen enough of Raw tonight. But it was a good explanation. I'm curious to see what the next few weeks are. I don't know. You can't do that every week, but to get me to care even more for that main event, I'm curious of. But it was a B+ for me that night.
Yeah, I think it was an A. And I, because there was a chance, and I think they handled this perfectly, because the video had come out, whatever, 6 months ago or whenever it did. The interview he did, I think it was with Chris Van Vliet, where he was talking about how he almost turned heel and he had new ring gear and he had a new song and he had all of these things ready to go from, hey, I'm transitioning from this John Cena to that John Cena. He had all those things ready to go. So especially with all this run-up time, I think there was a lot of curiosity of, oh, what's the new John Cena going to look like? And for him to come out and solidify, because there is a chance that he becomes the cool heel, right? Like if he gets the new merch, if he's wrestling a different gear, if he has a different song, then there's a chance that, okay, he's not going to be completely booed. But for him to come out and say, nope, that's my voice on that song. I ain't changing that. You dress like me. I don't care what you think. You dress like me. This is how I like to dress. So for all of that to stay consistent and to make sure that he gets the boos as the heel, I thought that was brilliant. I thought that was absolutely brilliant by Cena, by WWE Creative, to go from, to make sure that he is going to be the heel, that he's not going to be these mixes of cheers and boos, even though there were still some cheers when we heard the song hit, right? Like there were some cheers. Like I don't know if it was just muscle memory from, you know, a lot of the people there. They start hearing, you know, the song, they start cheering because it transitioned, was overwhelmed by the boos rather quickly. But I mean, there were still, you saw plenty of kids, plenty of people in the stands with, because now you can, and again, the business part of this is you can still sell the John Cena farewell tour t-shirts at every stop you go to and every stop he's going to be. So you can still capitalize and cash in on that. Not only can he, but obviously WWE. But I thought that was, to me, one of my favorite parts of the promo, of making sure he solidifies himself. Yes, he's the bad guy. Yes, he's going to continue to garner those boos. You know, I thought the Cody part of it was pretty forgettable, but I thought the Cena part of him, like I thought it was a tremendous promo that he cut. Yeah, he's going to be Cena. He's going to overact a little bit. Like, that's a part of it. But I thought it was a brilliant start. And hopefully they can continue to capitalize on the momentum of him being on the European tour over the next handful of weeks.
Brian, there's more to wrestling history than A.R. Fox on Dynamite. See, here's the problem with you, Rowitz. You don't appreciate history because that's exactly what we saw on Monday. Don't be Meltzer and Alvarez looking at the watch saying, oh, this is too long. It's John Cena. We saw wrestling history. A guy that has been eating shit from the fans for 15 plus years. John Cena's awesome. John Cena sucks. And he's had to just take it because he had to be a babyface.
Sure.
For the first time, he could get it off his chest. He could have went on for another half hour if he wanted to explain why that nobody matters.
And Raw would have been better. Raw would have been better if he did that.
It'd been fine with me, but understand the history of what we're talking about here. Like Andre turning, Hogan turning, Cena turning after all these years, being able to say what he wanted to say was wrestling history.
I don't know. I guess I've just been desensitized. Like, I had no problem with the time of it. Like, we had the New Day thing 2 months ago, which that was jarring. And Cena actually turning, that is jarring. That is surprising. But, like, even the start of that promo is what we saw from New Day, where they would go out there, get booed, and then walk out. And it felt like that's where we were going on Monday. And then he cut a good promo. So, to me, I guess I'm just desensitized from that stuff. Like, the turn is still a momentous occasion. It's still a big deal. The promo was good.
It was it was more than good, man. It was
great.
A history-making promo.
It was great.
I mean, okay, so we got to break it down bit by bit. It wasn't like Hogan with Mean Gene saying the garbage in this ring in Daytona represents you.
Sure.
I mean, fine promo, fine speech. It did the job to start the NWO going. But look at how Cena went about it. For 5 minutes, he didn't say anything. Six minutes, he didn't say anything. You still got, let's go, Cena. Cena sucks. He was going to say something, drop the mic. In which, by the way, if he flew all the way to Belgium just to drop the mic and say nothing, that would have been awesome too,
right?
to extend this thing. But I think that bit by bit, just watching his face and just in the corner at one point saying, you guys make it easy for me. This whole turn is easy for me because listen to you guys. I mean, I think that any place in the world, he would have got that reaction except Philly. Would have got that reaction of people booing him and saying, you know what, you suck for turning on Cody. And what Cody said was somewhat forgettable, but keep in mind, you got weeks and weeks to get to WrestleMania. This will stretch out. They'll have another promo battle. So I didn't need it all in Belgium. But we'll see moving forward, we're going to see this bit by bit is going to even be more interesting.
Yeah, I think that's fair. And like I said, we'll see the next few weeks. I don't know if we're going to see Cena every week. Like, if you look at the calendar, we might only see him a couple more weeks before Mania.
That's the problem. The problem, because I don't know how much more Cody can carry this on his own. Because Cena's the interesting part.
Mm-hmm.
Cena's the interesting part of this. Like, we've already seen Cody, because you've already had to rely on Cody to try to carry it and do the things like he did on SmackDown. Like, come out, beat up The Miz, saying, hey, I'm only interested. Like, Cody has done his part of carrying it the couple of weeks that Cena has already not been there. Asking him to do that again, that would, to me, kind of take away from the feud if you can't have both of them there.
Well, according to the schedule, we only get him 2 more Mondays. We get this upcoming Monday, the following Monday, and then we will see him in Vegas.
So then the old videotape, wherever he's filming his movie from, probably that. And by the way, it goes back to our conversation last week, Gabe. This is where the TKO influence comes in. Like, when we had part-timers before, like The Undertaker and Brock Lesnar, at least ramping up to WrestleMania, they'd be there.
Right, every week.
In the arena, every week, well, right?
Okay.
But now, in this situation, you see what's happening here, where it's like, we know that you're part of this program, you're going to be at WrestleMania, come in and out when you can, just, you know, and the same thing with Rock, work around your schedule. Like,
well, so, okay.
That's not what we're used to.
I'm glad you brought up Rock. Because the reason why it was only it was still a high grade. The reason why I did not go to A+, it was still an A. It was excellent. Why did The Rock not come up at all in this promo? Like, as far as I know, is Rock advertised for anything going forward? Like, is suddenly Dwayne going to be absent here and this is just going to be Cena standing on his own 2 feet? Like, I found it curious as I was watching the promo back that The Rock was not mentioned at all. Like, hey, this is easy for me. And also, oh, by the way, why wouldn't I, you know, align myself with The Rock? Why wouldn't I do this? We share, you know, our career paths are so similar. Like, there was no connection. There was no mention. There was no nothing. And maybe that explanation comes down the line because they're going to try to drag this thing out. But I don't – so is Dwayne going to be there? Because if Dwayne's there, then to me it's the same thing of, okay, Roman's not here, but we've got Paul Heyman, members of the Bloodline, to kind of continue this, to be able to go toe-to-toe with Cody or whomever you're going up against. But I did find it curious, and that's the one question that I still have remaining is, okay, all right, I got the explanation from you, John. It was great. You did a great job. Okay, so how does The Rock figure into all of this now?
See, now that's chapter two. In this slow burn WWE, now we turn the page. Okay, so as you mentioned, no mention of even the incident that happened in Elimination Chamber. No mention of Travis Scott. No mention of The Rock. No mention of it. So now the way they work, as we've seen this with the Bloodline, now we wait to next week. And then the next week. And so they have layers to this. Because they already got us hooked. They got us hooked already. But what I'm saying is that I believe that they – week after week, we'll start explaining all of this leading up to WrestleMania.
But that's the problem. Like, if he's only going to be here Monday and the following Monday, and there's no Rock explanation, but you need someone in order for it to be a slow burn, you need somebody there to represent that side. Otherwise, it's...
Yeah, like, are you confident Dwayne's showing up before Vegas?
Yes, on the videotape.
Okay.
Yeah, yes, okay. I do. He'll be on the show. He just won't be live in the arena.
Okay, that's
which
fine.
Is fine.
Yeah,
which is fine because again, he did that a couple of times last year, and it was good. Like it was still. And again, you had Paul Heyman, you had a lot of other members of the Bloodline. It's fine. I'm cool with that. But I am kind of curious as to why there was no mention of that, and at least a nod, and at least a foreshadow of, oh, and by the way, there's more to this story that you don't even know about. Maybe I'll get to that next week, right? Like, there was no foreshadowing of The Rock. And maybe I'm wrong, but it just had my spidey senses going off of, huh, that's interesting.
It is interesting from a business standpoint, too, because we saw the schedule coming before. Like, at this whole international schedule right into WrestleMania. Well, those countries and those cities are star for WWE. So even if The Rock or Cena doesn't show up, they still are rooting for WWE. It's going to be sold out. If this is in Miami, Milwaukee, Chicago, we'd be saying, well, wait a minute now. Now, hold on a second. We paid good money here to see the stars. Where the hell is The Rock? Where, right. You know, right? Like this, that video would not work in Milwaukee. They're throwing beer at the screen. That's not working. But in those other countries, though, Italy and Brussels and all that, it's like, oh, it's WWE, root for everything. And they're forgiving of everything because they never come to those cities to have a Raw or SmackDown. So, but like in the United States, like, hold on a second. Like we got The Undertaker, we got Brock Lesnar ramping up. Where's the stars for all this? So it's interesting for WWE to do this.
I mean, I think we saw it the way Monday was booked. You got a 10-minute main event with Braun and Finn. Like you got Kaiser versus Penta round 847. Like it was after that. It's like, hey, you got Cena. Everything else, you know, you'll enjoy it and just move from there.
Well, I mean, at least Penta has a new direction. Good for him.
Yeah.
Well, good for him. Stay there.
One of the greatest things in 2025 is that Penta's cutting promos in English.
Yeah.
What he never did before. It's underrated, man.
Did
it's
Tony like know?
Probably not.
Like probably he just not. Assumed, like.
I know, like, we're enamored with story and matches, but that thing shines through for me in 2025 that he is just waiting to get on the mic. Can't wait. Right. Grabs the mic and just he's just giving you the it's the best.
Well, but after the first promo, notice how most of them they're sending one of their reporters out there just to try to make sure that after he meandered the first time because he was so excited, they're like, all right, we got to make sure we keep this on a tight schedule. We got to keep him. We already had Cena just cut a half hour. Like we got to Penta. We got to make sure we kind of tighten this up.
We're seeing from John Cena, guys, is top five in my lifetime as far as turns. And there's been plenty of turns here or there. And no, Brian, Naomi's not on the list. No. But
New Day, though.
No, New Day.
That was shocking.
New Day.
That night was shocking. They've wasted it since then, but that night, no one saw that coming.
Yeah, because everybody thought that like Big E, especially after he offered to be the manager and be around,
right,
for them to undercut Big E like that was shocking.
It's right up there with the Shield with me, with the chair from Rollins. It's right up there.
Yeah, I'm not saying it's bigger than Cena, but I'm saying like it was shocking. Again, they've pissed it away, but
No, I think that this is great for Cena. And I guess as I was watching that, I was thinking, so how are you made whole in December? Like, he went hard into the paint. And again, it's not about the time of the promo or what it was, him taking time out to point out people with the Cena t-shirt and the hat and say, you know what? You're worse than the people against me. And explain that too. That's pretty strong. It really is.
Zero issue with the length of it, because I didn't even realize, I did not watch it live. But when I watched it back, like, I didn't realize how long it was until like I had paused it. And then I saw the line on the button. Like, oh, whoa. What? And then the thought of, okay, what the rest of the show going to be? Cause there ain't that much time left after he did it. But when it was happening, like, you found yourself, at least I found myself, like, really connected to it, and you just kind of lose it, you know, like, you know, and you're like, oh, wow, I had no idea that it actually ended up going that long. So I had zero issue with the length of it.
He hasn't been that angry, I don't think, ever, because I'm thinking about his career, right? Comes in, white meat, baby face, ruthless aggression, slaps Kurt Angle. Okay, so that turns into Thugonomics, John Cena, when he was a heel. Mm-hmm. Which turned him into and again, taking on The Undertaker, he was kind of an Austin Theory heel in that way, in some ways, where it's just kind of like, you know, you're good, but you're beatable, that kind of thing, when he was a heel. And then turned into this huge baby face that you couldn't turn because of money. And so for him to go the complete opposite way, I'm just thinking to myself, like, okay, this is your final run. This is what you said. How do you turn back? How does all the fans embrace you after you went that hard into the paint with that promo? That's going to be interesting.
If you take out The Rock, I guess that would be the one. Like, he rejects The Rock, turns on him, admits his mistakes. Like, in terms of the angry, I feel like the only thing I could picture, like, him not smiling was, like, the one-night stand. They've seen a Wins We Riot. Yeah. Like, I just picture him holding the title. He doesn't have a smile on his face. Like,
that was a heel of circumstance,
right? Like, that's you know, like, I could think of
scared.
Like, it's the opposite of when MJF goes to Long Island. Like, MJF is a heel everywhere except when he goes to Long Island. He's the baby face. Like, he was the inverse of that for one night stand.
He's scared to death. I'd be scared.
Yeah, right. Did you see how big the sign? If Cena wins, we riot. Like, that sign was huge. They weren't messing around.
Hey, brother, let's get out of here. 4 minutes, roll me up. That's like, man, I'd be scared to death with that crowd. That's an ECW vintage crowd there. But, I'm just thinking, guys, like, when Andre pulled the chain off of Hogan in 87, like, for Andre to be a babyface the entire time, and for him to do that to Hogan, that was shocking. To see Hogan do what he did, even though Bobby Heenan gave up you know, whose side is he on? As he walked down the aisle in Daytona, that was shocking when he dropped the leg. But this thing here with Cena, man, I'm looking forward to the match. I'm looking forward to seeing what happens after WrestleMania on how Cena's going to keep. Because it's one thing to do the usual WWE, well, I turned because you fans didn't support me. Well, that's just 101. They've done that forever. But the way he did it, the time that he had to do it, man, I was really impressed. Really impressed. Like, he's been wanting to do this shit since 2012. And he got it done, man.
We're all on the same page. He's still winning over Cody, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah,
like, sure. I don't even – would you put it even above 5% that he doesn't win?
Yeah, because it's going to be help. Yeah.
How cool would it be if they did the inverse, because Cena obviously was on the other end of this, but when he got squashed by Lesnar? What if they just let Cena do the five moves of doom and he just absolutely squashes Cody Rhodes?
Riot.
Like, you're ending night two like that?
You're not missing Monday Night Raw the next night.
Yeah. Oh.
Like, but I mean, if he's going to win, like, I don't know, because WrestleMania crowd is getting smarter and smarter, right? Mm-hmm. Like the people who are there. So, I mean, yes, you're going to have a handful of people that think that Cody Rhodes is going to win, is going to be in Cody Rhodes' corner. But if he just absolutely gets squashed, I just think that's interesting. I think it's a card that they can play and throw it back to something that had previously happened in John Cena's career, and for him to do it then to Cody, I think that would be interesting. I don't think ultimately that's the direction that they go. It would just at least be something that should be entertained, because I think it would be another shocking moment in this and continue to give Cena momentum as the 17-time world champ. As you know, and again, it then also to me, just like it did for Cena, it's like, okay, where does Cena go from here after it happened with Brock Lesnar? Like it makes Cody more interesting going forward as well. Okay, where does Cody go from here? Where he now has to build himself back up. But I think that would be interesting as well.
Who are Cody's allies at the moment
that are around? I mean, I guess Orton. We don't know where Sammy is.
I mean, Stone Cold had offered his services.
Because that matters, because it's kind of bloodline all over again, right? So Cena has the protection from The Rock. Yeah, Jey Uso busy winning his own championship.
Look, I was about to say, we know what happens after Jay wins gold at pay-per-views, all right? Like, we already know. Jay's not going to be around to help. If he is around, he's not going to be much help.
You know what I'm saying? So, because that comes down to it, like, Cena beating Cody sounds like there's going to be outside interference. And I'm just wondering, who are Cody's allies? Punk wants a shot at the championship. It's not. Yeah. Look around that locker room. How many babyfaces would be there to help Cody? Because that's how Cody wanted to start with. He had babyface help to beat the bloodline. Who's going to help him? Roman?
No.
Yeah, I feel like he's not.
I mean, Seth Rollins obviously was a part of the storyline last year, but he's got his own stuff going on. Yeah, I think.
I mean, Orton's, I feel like we get the Austin Rock stare down. Like, that'll be a moment.
So Austin will be there in Vegas. Are you saying that officially?
It feels like it, yeah.
Well, again, like, he's offered his services. He's previously said he doesn't want to leave the state of Nevada. Like, there are some signs that point towards it. Whether or not it actually happens still remains to be seen.
Want a match? What? Want a match?
Just make a decision so the man can, like, get himself in a little bit of shape if he's got to take his shirt off. Unlike the, well, I can't remember what WrestleMania that was, where him, Mick Foley, and Shawn Michaels all came out, and Austin really wasn't expecting it. Like, Foley got himself in some pretty good shape. Like, HBK looked great, and Austin just came out in a 316, like, double XL t-shirt because he hadn't done anything to get himself ready because he wasn't really aware.
Well, Dwayne probably hasn't decided, so I feel like that impacts him.
That's true. That's true. It all kind of depends upon Dwayne and if he can be there or not. All right, Brian, let's see what we've got this week and some of the other top stories in professional wrestling. We'd like to call it the three count. What do we got this week at number one?
All right. Last night, AEW Dynamite in a snowy Omaha, Nebraska, we saw Cope vs. Mox part two with tetanus shots for everyone involved. Did Dynamite make up for the Revolution main event last night?
Absolutely not. Absolutely. Look. And last night was infinitely better, I think, than what the main event was of Revolution. But I still got a lot of questions of, okay, why did we need this if you weren't going to put it in the main event? Like, this feud was good enough to main event the pay-per-view, which we talked about, probably shouldn't have. And now it's going on to kick off the 8 o'clock hour in Omaha? Like, why wouldn't, if your world championship is so important that it had to main event the pay-per-view, why can't it main event an episode of television?
I don't understand at all what we saw there. I don't understand. So I'm not saying that Cope should be the AEW champion. I just don't understand the whole feud of it, the whole feud of the thing. And then on top of that, just the way that match went about. I mean, it's back and forth. It starts in the back in a truck. And I'm watching this, and it's just like, it just didn't garner my interest because it just didn't have enough story for me. We talked about this for weeks now, Gabe, Brian, just like, this is the World Heavyweight Championship. You're on max now. It's got to be better than this. And I know we're not supposed to compare AEW to WWE or New Japan or anything else, but just think about how much they hold up even the Gunther World Championship in this matchup with Uso. And then here's John Moxley. And I know, Gabe, you're a Moxley guy, but this is just spinning your wheels right now with this whole thing. And I just thought that it was needless. I mean, so he's like a porcupine because he's got stuff out of his on his back, and he got his skin all twisted up with that thing. And I'm just like, tomorrow we'll forget about it because it's not that important. It's never a seminal moment for AEW for them to do that. I don't get it. I just don't.
I mean, that spot was so gruesome that like Mox was breaking character. Where like he had to tell you like, oh yeah, go do the table spot. Basically, hey, take the camera off me while we figure out how to get this out of my skin right now.
Just
that was so. I guess, and again, maybe it's because I'm a Mox guy. Like, I enjoyed the match. I thought it was fine. Yeah,
it was a lot better than the last one.
Yeah. But again, it's not like it wasn't, you know, Star Spangled Awesome. It was fine. Yeah. Although I was grossed out and simultaneously laughing when they couldn't get Spike out of his back.
Come on.
Like, and then to have the camera angle right behind him as Yuta's trying to pull it out and seeing the skin just like not, you know, just attaching itself to it, like, oh my God, I can't believe they're showing this on TV.
I mean, that's just unnecessary. Why put? I know you're the world champion. Do you have to put yourself in peril like that every time I see you?
What I don't get is,
you already know the answer to that.
Yeah. He wasn't bleeding. That's a plus. Or I guess on his back was.
On his back he was. I mean, like, he's a human pincushion. So I need to see that on TV. And by the way, but you do that, and it doesn't move the meter for the next match.
Right.
It doesn't. He's the same guy. This whole thing has just been flat for me. And I don't know where Cope goes from here. I don't.
Obviously something with FTR since he got pushed, you know, since Dax refused to help him up.
That's the thing to me is like when we talked about why they were doing it again last week, we couldn't come up with a good reason, but we're like, all right, well, maybe something's going to happen. There are rumors that maybe some people were supposed to come back at Revolution that didn't. Nothing changed after last night. Like, Mox is still the champ. It's still a Bloodline-esque match. And yeah, I guess the FTR thing at the end is, all right, we're moving forward with that. Like, I don't get it.
Yeah,
I don't know. I just know that, you know, I feel like Will Ospreay is going to be the next heavyweight champion because he keeps looking at not just one sign, two signs, yes. The Dynasty sign and the All In sign because they're side by side because that makes sense, right? So, which sign are you pointing at? Either one, bro. I'm just pointing at signs.
Well, he's not. We already know he's not wrestling for the title of Dynasty.
And does he even have a match at Dynasty?
Well, that's the point. The idea that they're side by side, he's looking at both, and we don't know what he's looking at. He's just looking in the general direction of signs. I feel for you, Gabe, because you support Mox. But as a company tries to grow, he's a world champion, but this seems like anyone else. He doesn't seem like the world heavyweight champion to me. Hasn't felt like that since he got the title back.
Again, this.
Top guy, you know? Does he feel like a top guy to you?
This needed to be a dominant run. This needed to be you needed, because again, the whole thing started with Mox wanting change within AEW. I want change. He needed to be a dominant champion. Yeah, you can do some of these spots like you did with that with Edge, but like it just like he's a chicken shit heel. And like this faction should have been dominant. Like, if you wanted to make this thing interesting and fun, like, they needed to be dominant, not like any other heel that's just run of the mill. No, you want to make this different, then make it feel different. And they just haven't been able to accomplish that. And that's the disappointing part. Is to me, it was pretty easy to book. It was pretty easy to figure out, because that's how you made the Danielson match mean more with him beating him. Because, okay, now this guy's dominant. Like, oh, who's going to beat him? And instead, it's like, all right, who's going to beat him? Please, somebody, just for the love of God, beating him. Instead of it being interesting of, oh, man, whoever beats Mox is going to get this huge rub because he's been so dominant. He's been running through everybody. He's not scared of anybody. He's taking them all on. Doesn't need, you know, again, if you want to have a couple of interference from the stable, fine, every once in a while. But just if you made Mox dominant, you would have made everything feel special. And he's just not. It sucks. Because it was easy. It was right in front of you.
I'm not convinced they're going to let it go to Swerve.
No, he'll lose too.
Nope.
That's the I'm with you. Turn.
Yeah, Brian, you're your fear of them letting this thing go all the way to All In, I think, is unfortunately going to be coming to fruition.
Yep.
That is the na-na turn that's happening.
Right.
And by the way, there's no teeth to that either. Na-na can't face Swerve in the ring, so that makes no sense. So, but I think that's where that's going, where Swerve sides with – I'm sorry, Na-na sides with Ricochet.
Yeah, that's
fine. And then what?
Like,
then what?
Right, we've already done Swerve and Ricochet, and like, and also like, they're still banking on Darby making it down the mountain. Like, that's still something that has to be considered.
Look, you can't put your world championship on somebody who's not going to be there on a consistent basis. Like, and look, it's cool that Darby's got outside interests and he's been able to make this enough money where he's able to do cool stuff, and good for him personally. But I guess I just want my champion to be somebody who's actually invested in the company.
Yeah,
that is eventually going to be Will Ospreay, but I'll give Dynamite credit. They put the most over person in the company at the end of the show, and that's Toni Storm.
Yeah,
I mean, she did commentary, and she was better than even the main event match.
But that should happen at Revolution. Like, yeah, it should have been Toni in the main event.
I agree.
She's so good with words, man.
Oh my god!
Like, I mean, how many sexual innuendos did she make in a freaking 1 minute promo? Six or seven?
Because, like, it's not completely in your face to where, like, if you're the younger audience, like, you don't get what she's saying.
No.
But, like, it's so amusing.
It is fantastic. Her and RJ City have done a great job of putting that together. I mean, it's fantastic, man. And by the way, it's not like she's got, you know, where I would need a sheet of paper to be able to, like, bullet point lines. It's just, she still has that just blank stare on her face, and she's just throwing the lines out there, and it's just like, God, that's so entertaining.
That's so funny.
It's the best. She's the best commentator and the best wrestler in the company. She's the best analyst and also the best wrestler. Fantastic.
Yeah, very entertaining.
What do we got at number two this week?
All right, reports out this week that AEW and the WWE are trying to facilitate a way for Sting to induct Lex Luger into the Hall of Fame. Sting is still under an AEW contract, so let's do some fantasy booking. If Sting's allowed to go to the Hall, who should AEW ask for one night only and part of a trade?
All right, I mean, you're not going to get any of the big time names, right? Okay. Like, you're not going to get, because I would love Seth. Like, if you get like a Seth Mox match, or a Roman Mox match, like some sort of Shield, like that would be my dream.
Oh,
like,
wow.
Some sort of Shield match would be my dream.
Not Ospreay AEW. And Seth.
No. He's got it right.
Yeah. Like that. But you're not like if you're Hunter, right. You're saying you can't say no. So I think the biggest, most realistic name they can get is AJ Styles. I don't know who I'm putting AJ against. It's probably Will Ospreay at that point, but I think AJ is probably the biggest name that you could potentially get and still get a lot of people excited.
I'd also put AJ in with Swerve.
Sure. But if you want to see a match in the mirror, it's AJ Styles against Will Ospreay.
Yeah.
They both will come down with the same hood, the same robe. They still unveil the robe. I mean, you see it twice. You'll see the Styles clash twice. You'll see the same moves twice. That's what it would be. Like, it's like two Spider-Man memes facing each other. That's what it would be.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, it'll be Nakamura.
Okay.
It'll be somebody expendable. Seriously, it'll be like,
But right now, AJ's expendable. He's in a feud with Karrion Kross, and it's just backstage. They don't even do it out in the ring in front of people.
And the crowd's still into AJ.
It is. This is a deep cut, but you guys need to research this. You guys don't remember Joey Legend, just Joe, did the same thing like in the like early 2000s WWE. He was just a guy that would just come backstage and say and try to bring the storylines together. I don't know if I would do that, man. I mean, that guy's tough. I don't know if I'd do. That's all that Karrion Kross is doing is just Joe. That's all he's doing. Like, so you're not going to wrestle anytime? You're just going to give me advice being a clubhouse lawyer? How about get out of my face?
They fired all his friends, and he still somehow gets screen time every week.
So let's put our heads together, because I think that we have to play King of the Mountain. I think that Gabe has got it. Imagine you see. Okay, so Seth Rollins taking on Mox would be amazing. Who goes over?
Well, that's why I feel like this could never work, because you're not going to agree.
Double DQ?
Yeah.
Double DQ? Like, Seth comes down there, but not the robe and the craziness. He just comes down, it's like black tights, runs down the ring, and they fight. Like, yeah. Old Shield members fight.
Yeah.
10, 15 minutes, double DQ, throw it out, whatever. But there's a way to do it. But Seth would be so pissed at Triple H.
Right. So that's why, like, a guy like Knock works. You send Nakamura over, he can take a loss to a Swerve or an Ospreay, and we'll get a banger of a match.
And almost done with the company, I believe.
Well, yeah.
You're telling me that if you do AJ Styles versus Ospreay, Ospreay's going to be begging to take that loss.
I guess that's a good point, the way Ospreay.
That ain't
but
Brian,
Tony
now.
Wouldn't allow that. Like, Tony, would have, that's when Tony would all of a sudden put his foot down. He's like, no, you are not losing to one of their guys. Like,
yeah. Or you do the old cinch up, man. Do the old cinch it up and then pass three count. Who knows?
Would Bayley be a possibility, either in a match against Mercedes or a tag match with Mercedes?
Two best friends. Holy shit.
Well, but then that way, as a tag team, they can go over whoever. You know, they can go over Billy Starks and Athena in a tag team match in a run up to, you know, she's, you know, she needs a friend and everybody knows they're best friends, and you could do something like that.
The other one I thought, just from a like attainability standpoint, is what if they lent Oba Femi for a night and you do Oba versus Brody?
Well, we know Brody's taking the loss there.
Right. So, like,
oh my God. Come on now.
I mean, he's not wrong.
I have been begging for Brody to go over anybody. And he just doesn't do it ever, despite everybody wanting him to win in the arena every time he steps foot in the squared circle. And Tony just doesn't do it.
It's a good point.
NXT champion is who?
Oba Femi.
Oba Femi.
He's not the world champion.
They did him and Moose, who was, you know, the TNA champ.
That's right. And I watched that. That was a hell. My dream match came true. I need to see that match maybe another five times. I mean,
if you're Tony, you have to ask for someone bigger than the NXT champion, because Sting is pretty associated with you. Like, Sting is a pretty big bargaining chip that you have. How desperate are you, Trips? How big do you want this to happen for Lex?
Yep.
My guess is not that bad. So we're not going to get any of the big names we've talked about. And ultimately, Sting doesn't do it.
Yeah. And that's just too bad. Because then it's probably, is Flair still in the contract in AEW?
I think so.
I think he's got a similar deal.
Tony's such a fan, though, that he might be willing to bet. Like, if Hunter offered up Motor City Machine Guns.
Well, what did Tony get for Billy Gunn going to the WWE Hall of Fame? Remember that? The pissant?
Yeah.
So what was in return? Nothing?
Just a shot at them on TV?
You gotta do better than that. I know Billy was a backstage guy, but you gotta do better than that.
Right.
You gotta get a trade. So it goes back to like TNA when Dixie Carter was running it. It's like she could have anybody besides The Undertaker in exchange for Ric Flair for the Hall of Fame, and she chose Christian. What? I've always liked Christian. Really? Ric Flair for Christian? Okay. But I like those choices, man. If you're Tony and you know WWE's rubbing your nose in the dirt, you got to drive a hard bargain. Otherwise, I'm trying to think of Luger's past. If it's not Sting, if it's not Flair,
it's Cody.
Cody's dead. Horseman, J.J. Dillon. No.
They just have Cody do it.
Oh, because of his connection with Dusty?
Yeah.
That's a stretch.
Or I guess you could have DDP. There's a connection there now.
Wow. Oh, yeah. The answer is DDP. Yeah. The answer is DDP. That's 100% the answer.
Unfortunately, the induction speech will be 25 minutes before we hear from Lex.
What do we got at number three this week, Brian?
All right, we talked about the Cena promo. We'll see him on two more Raws before Vegas. What do you want to see next from John Cena?
We don't see him actually get physical before Mania, do we? Like, there's not going to be any sort of tear-apart brawl. I feel that's kind of been overdone, and maybe that's just in general in pro wrestling because we've seen that a couple of different times now in the last week. I don't think he can do that. I'm curious, man. I want to know where they go, because I what more interaction can these two have? I guess a longer talk from Cody to Cena. I don't know, because they didn't really talk back and forth, because when Cena tried to talk, Cody cut him off. So I'm not quite sure where they go from here, but I'm interested to see what Cody can do to make this continue to be interesting, because some of it's on him as well.
I think in our everyday lives at Good Karma, if we disagree with someone, we have to start with, look, kid, just like Cena did and Cody. Now, look, kid, just do that. It's so condescending. It's so bad when you say, look, kid. Like, it's Cody Rhodes. He's on top of the world. Now, look, kid, because Cena's going to go right in there. Just like, enough. I don't want to hear from you anymore. And Cena said nothing. So I think that because it's WWE, you know how this works, guys. At least there'll be one pull apart or one clothesline over the top where Cena goes to the floor. Cena has to at least one time between now and WrestleMania take two steps backwards from Cody, because that's how it works. He's a heel now, so you have to not be chicken shit, but you got to take a couple steps back and go, okay, champ, okay, now I know what I'm dealing with here. You got to do that at least one time.
Mm-hmm. I think it's more just like a cheap shot, like hitting an AA on him and laying him out once, but like I don't think we had a lot of physicality before. To me, it's just we have to see Dwayne. Like somehow, some way, whether it's a backstage, whether it's an Instagram post, like find a way to connect those pieces that ultimately set this story off.
Yeah, but that's not even next. What do you want to see next from John Cena? That's what do you want to see next from Dwayne Johnson? That's that question, right?
That's a different here. That's
different. But again, like we said it before, how do you connect that? How do you start connecting those dots going forward? Because if Cena's only advertised for two more Raws and we're still a decent amount away from WrestleMania, because it's deeper into April. It's not right away in April. Right? We got to go a couple weeks in. Like, is that enough? Like, you, it's not long-term storytelling. You kind of got to put these pieces together rather quickly.
Does Cena have that sort of personal shot edge, like where to say something to Cody, like, oh, yeah, you followed me on the road, and like, I always knew you wouldn't make it. Like, there's a reason you got fired from this place. Does he have that in him?
That's coming.
Okay.
That's coming. I think he's full-fledged heel now. Like, there is no babyface tendencies at all. I think that's it. And for all the speculation we had of, like, you know, outfit, music, all that, it's Cena, but it's Cena with a definite edge. The WrestleMania Cena, quite frankly.
Yeah.
But so much further, because taking on The Rock or taking on Austin Theory, all this stuff, he's always had an edge going after people. But this is cutting. I think that this is going to be deeper than we've ever seen him. He's going to go deep into his heel bag. And what you said, more than likely, it will happen. He'll start talking about Cody, his dad, and start really digging deep.
Yep. Yeah, because that is the thing. I guess that is the next step. He took shots at the crowd. Now he starts taking shots directly at the undisputed WWE champion in Cody Rhodes. All right, Brian, what do we got this week in news and notes?
All right, Vegas plans coming together. WWE announcing this week their male and female ID title tournament. We'll start WrestleMania week in Vegas Wednesday, April 16th at GCW, Friday, April 18th at Future Stars of Wrestling of Vegas after SmackDown.
That makes you more excited for WrestleMania, doesn't it?
Yes and no. Like, the WWE aspect of indie wrestling is scaring me a little bit. That's my only reluctance.
It's not Vince, though. It's not like changing everybody's names and they're going to be putting a clown suit on these people. I mean,
that's good.
It's not that. I mean,
yeah, nobody's getting hatched out of an egg.
Well, that's sort of disappointing. I want to see that my Mania week. I want to see stuff like that.
See, he doesn't want to see. It's the opposite. He doesn't want the diehard wrestler.
Right.
He wants the silly indie person. So they can be themselves. They're still themselves, but they're a little bit more buttoned up because they want to be on Raw and SmackDown someday.
Yeah, good on them. Make their money. So we'll see what happens, but that'll be going on in Vegas. So another one going on in Vegas, Joey Janela, Josh Barnett's Bloodsport. We talked about a couple weeks ago. Natty will be a part of it. This week announced Gabe King representing New Japan and Pete Dunne representing the WWE will also be a part of this year's show.
Again, just smart.
Do they know it's a work, brother? Those two?
I don't know. I always worry with those shows that someone's going to like maybe go a little too far.
So, Gabe, this is the Bloodsport with no ropes.
Correct.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So it's just a mat, and it's Gabe Kidd,
AKA Shane McMahon's WWE Underground.
Right.
That's exactly right. Exactly right. And it's somewhat shootish, and Gabe Kidd thinks everything's real. Mm-hmm. And so you've got Butch. I'm sorry. You've got Pete Dunne in there. Okay, that could be pretty rough. I think there might be a problem.
I'll tell you this. That's must-see TV.
Yeah, something's going to be wrong there because Gabe Kidd is 100% ruthless aggression. 100%. Mm-hmm. So, and again, that's strange bedfellows, right? AEW guy gets a WWE guy.
Yeah, so, I mean, they did it last year also. They had a bunch of different companies there. So everyone just sort of trusts Josh Barnett, which is interesting to see.
Yeah, that's going to be interesting. And will Natty survive? That's the other question.
Yeah. Well, speaking of hurt feelings, also announced this week by WWE, the night after night two, Sunday night, the roast of WrestleMania. So this is late Sunday night in Vegas. Comedian Tony Hinchcliffe, who, got some headlines for not saying correct things. Sami Zayn, The Miz, Paul Heyman, and Braun Strowman all advertised for that show.
After WrestleMania.
After night two, yes. I believe it's like 10 o'clock Pacific.
How do you feel about your boy being relegated to a roast of WrestleMania and not wrestling on WrestleMania?
It is so disappointing. It's not being aired anywhere, probably because, you know, they're going to push limits and things like that. But there are going to be hurt feelings. There's no way this ends well for them.
I don't think that's a good idea.
It's not.
I don't think that's a good idea at all, as a matter of fact. Because if I'm in Vegas with you, I'm completely skipping that and finding another indie show.
Sure.
To go down. But after the bumps and bruises or whatever happens at WrestleMania, ice pack on the head, you got to be in there and be there with the giggles of a roast. And maybe some of those people that's going to participate at WrestleMania will have to be roasters too.
Right.
That's a lot of work.
Like, Heyman's name being on it means he won't be there night two because Roman will be night one. So he just skips night two and just goes to this? Like,
I don't like it.
I hope it's a small theater because I can't imagine it's going to be well attended.
And finally, in news and notes, the next WWE European tour has been announced August 22nd through the 29th in the UK. Sheer coincidence, I'm sure. But August 24th in the UK, AEW, New Japan, Forbidden Door will also be going on. This adds to NXT Battleground on May 25th, the same night as AEW Double or Nothing, and Saturday Night Main Event July 12th, the same night as AEW All In.
See, we got it nailed down. We got it nailed down now from last week's show.
Uh-huh.
Told you, WWE is going to go against AEW and try to put Tony Khan into a straitjacket.
Yeah.
That's what they're trying to do.
But AEW's not, it's just a pissant little company, right? It's not even a real competitor. What are they worried about? Why would they do this if it's not a real competitor?
See that? That is incredible, but not surprising. Not surprising. Just let AEW breathe. Nope, can't do that. Can't do that.
Well, and look, I can understand. I mean, some of the prices that Trips has probably had to pay to retain some of his talent, he's probably not too happy about it. His higher-ups at TKO aren't too happy about you take a competitor off the board. Turns out some of those prices might go down.
I'm laughing at Gabe because he painted a picture of the roast looking like AEW in Omaha. empty seats. Nobody's going to go. I'm just imagining what that looks like. Like, yeah, we're not doing this.
I don't know, though. Some of those things get packed out because it's like you can't afford to go to Mania, so you find all these other shows to go to.
So yeah, but like, I want to
see talent.
I want to see Paul Heyman cut a promo, not try to be funny.
Yeah, that is true.
Like
we always say on this show, there's some things in wrestling just not for us. Mm-hmm. That's just not for me. I would not want to be anywhere around that. And it'll be on like WWE Vault at some point in a year or two. It'll come up.
You've only got one of those people who's a professional comedian. Like, he's not going to write jokes for everybody.
I just think it's putting a hat on a hat. You got WrestleMania. That's the biggest thing. Why do comedy afterward? I mean, it's for some people, just not for me. That's all.
Yeah, again, and I don't think it's going to be for a lot of people, which is why I said small arena.
Also, yep. CM Punk, like, no jokes towards Punk, right?
Oh, boy. I better not be. Yeah, so I just thought it sucked, you know. We do bust our ass at WrestleMania. Now they're making jokes about me leaving. You know, I just thought that was a low class, you know, and I decided to leave. Go back to AEW.
Yeah. Well, that's it for news and notes.
All right, boys. Time for, I don't think there's a lot, matches of the week.
Ryan?
So there was a lot last night. I mean, the four-way to start last night was a lot
Fatal
of fun.
Fatal four-way to start last night was great. It was fantastic.
Like, everyone hit their notes. Ricochet being the heel, the orange and speedball kicks. Like, that was a lot of fun, that match last night. I also really enjoyed Mercedes and Billy Starks.
So this is going to lead into Athena coming to the company, which was foreshadowed
in the promo after.
Just cold though because Billy Starks deserves better than that too. But it was cold that she came in there. Hopefully it'll do a better job with Athena. I agree with the opener for Dynamite in front of that crowd that had a blizzard coming in there. That crowd was hot. Not a surprise.
It was hot.
I thought that the big guy was gonna win, Mark. Thought he might win.
Mark Jannetty.
Yeah.
Mark, either Mark Jannetty. Yeah, right. Exactly. Odd finish, though. Odd finish. You want to have a three-way? You could just tell me. You don't have to do, like, jazz hands and give me the three-way.
I thought it was clever, though. It's different. It's not something you typically see as a way to end it.
I enjoyed the fact that Ricochet, like, got the cheap one there, right?
Sure.
After being on commentary, like, he just kind of jumped in at the end, and instead of breaking up the count, decided, oh, I'm just going to, like, hang on to the leg, see what happens.
Also, I know it's wrestling logic, but, like, there's no DQ, so we don't have to play up the whole, oh, he was on the ropes. Like, it's fine.
I know. This show has been crying for an authority figure of some sort, right. And just for Bryce Rensburg to say, like, you know what? How about a three-way? Yeah. Oh, you're booking matches, too. Yeah. Okay, well.
All right, Bryce.
No one else has got something in the back, so you book it.
Another one I'll throw out, another Mercedes match, her versus Indy Hartwell, House of Glory, Saturday night. Just an awesome job by her to go out to New York to give Indy some shine also. That was a fun match, watching that maybe illegally on YouTube. Yeah, really fun match there.
Tag team match to close out SmackDown. Who's solid?
What was it? The tag team match?
DIY versus the Street Profits. Street Profits ended up walking away with the championships.
Yeah, so there's been a lot of conjecture outside of the Cena promo. I guess this one of the other topics this week was talking about whether or not you feel like the tag team division in WWE is cold. Well, I think ultimately it's just too many championships in WWE. Like to have two sets of champions for tag team. DIY is dead on arrival now. And what happened to the Machine Guns push? What happened there? They came into the company and it's like, okay, we're done. Like, I mean, you got to give tag team wrestling a chance better than that. Nothing against the Street Profits. Cool. Nothing against the War Raiders.
Yeah, I think that's where they are right now.
Yeah, they're all. I got another. But the point is that you don't need two sets of tag team champions. And I just think that the tag teams that are new, late 2024 into 2025, are ice cold now. What about Austin Theory and his buddy? That's not a thing anymore.
Oh, he got squashed. I don't know if that got cut because Cena went long. I don't know if that ended up getting cut, but I mean that was getting swashed by Bruins's guy Jimmy Uso, Big Jim, not a good look.
It's really interesting how that works.
Jey Uso.
Jey Uso. Very interesting how that works, how, Austin Theory's nuts get cut off by Cena, and then he loses in 3 minutes.
Yep.
Also, the Jey Uso spear was so bad that Michael Cole called it a crossbody?
Heard that.
Wow. Oh, someone should point out that maybe he's not that great when the bell rings.
Oh, come on. You know what? Analysis. Bad guy.
Just saying. He's analysis. Great catchphrase. Very over.
You ready for the analysis of this? You ready?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Jey Uso's never been in a squash match before. He didn't know what to do. I don't think he's ever been in a squash match before.
He got so many people using the spear now, though. Like, can somebody just teach him how to do it properly?
I just think he rushed through. I just think that he's like, hey, 3 minutes. 3 minutes? My intro's 10.
Right.
What the hell do you mean 3 minutes?
3 minutes. We're behind on time because it's, okay. I'm going to just rush through the spear then, like. I don't think he's ever had a match that quick before, especially singles.
True.
As a matter of fact, I can guarantee he's never done that before.
Like, Cole being so surprised that he won with the crossbody might have been the second best part of Raw.
Who was that, Graves? I think Graves yelled, "That's it." I think that's what he said. Wait a minute, that's it?
I think you're right. It was fantastic.
He also had the dive bot, like the top dollar one. He did that in that same match. he crammed him in there.
I know. But that sucks for the kids, though. That sucks for them. Right down under. That's bad.
Hey, they were just main eventing an NXT pay-per-view recently.
They may be main eventing some more.
I think that's correct. And I think that's pretty much it.
Yeah, pretty much.
AEW, yeah.
Yeah. Now, again, there wasn't a lot of ton of wrestling, but we're building up towards Dynasty, WrestleMania. People are being protected. But storylines are interesting. Storylines are hot. If you've missed any of our previous segments, any of the interviews like we've done with Saraya, make sure you check them out at Good Karma Wrestling on YouTube, at youtube.com/@GoodKarmaWrestling. We'll talk about everything happening in pro wrestling right here next week on GKW.